You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. This is Shifa Situ. I'm speaking to Sandro Bose, CEO and founder of Buzznet. The TIE Asia Pacific Conference has just been concluded. Can you tell us briefly, what is it all about and what are its main objectives?
TIE is the world's largest non-profit for entrepreneurs, and our aim is to foster entrepreneurship globally. And we do through many ways. One is networking, but the very important part of TIE is mentoring services, where we actually mentor companies from early stage to late stage. And TIE, while it started off being in the Silicon Valley and is still very tech heavy, entrepreneurship for TIE today expands to any other kind of business.
Okay. I mean, I know one of the primary objectives is regional partnerships. I mean, what exactly is meant by that, and why is it so important?
You know, I moved to Malaysia in 2003. Prior to that, I was in the Silicon Valley for about 12 years working there. And once I moved to Malaysia, and it took me, you know, 5-6 years to understand that while there's a lot of business in the region, for example, there's 600 million people living in the ASEAN, the local business culture really makes it important to get a local partner to work with, to manage, you know, local expectations, people's attitudes, etc. So the mistake I made in the past coming from Silicon Valley, I tried to sell as I would in the US. It didn't work. Only when I started becoming very localized, that's when I got some success. So my advice to companies outside Malaysia who are trying to sell in the region is cut the chase, find a local partner.
So it's a cultural clash or a shock?
It's not a clash. It's a different way of doing things. I won't say it's a clash at all. It's a different. I mean, if the world was the same, we'd all be eating McDonald's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And for the local partners, you know, the more the bigger IT companies, etc., they want to get outside Malaysia as well. So maybe the Thai network gives them a global access. So they too can benefit from that.
Can you summarize what you think were the key sort of lessons or takeouts from the event?
You know, we wanted to give a little broad flavor to the conference. One was to focus on the Asia-Pacific region, you know, what the economy holds, how buzzing the whole region is. Second is to talk about people in technology. We wanted people from the investment community, you know, VCs coming in, bankers coming in. We wanted people from academia, and we wanted entrepreneurs to talk. And I do hope that the local companies have got enough contacts or exposure to think reaching out of the Malaysian borders.
I mean, what are the main obstacles for Malaysian companies?
You know, what I've seen in the last, say, 8 years coming back and forth to Malaysia, a lot of them think locally. They are seeing, you know, the government of Malaysia being a big customer, some large companies they have connections with being the customer. They haven't gone overseas in a big way. Second is for the startups, there's not enough capital available in terms of angel investors, seed money. To kind of bridge that, the government does have some initiatives in terms of cradle funding, MDEC funding for pre-seed, which I think is extremely good initiative. In terms of venture capital, it's a little small industry here. And I don't think people have seen the real upside to tech industry yet. But if you can go to a larger base than Malaysia, I think every investor will find the upside. So Malaysian companies, besides this lack of capital, also the lack of mentoring services. You know, you need to talk to people who have been there, done that, or people with a global exposure. And people who mentor do it because they believe in it and not because there's some financial or other benefit from it. These mentors will help them, you know, maybe jump across borders. You know, it's almost like a virus, you know. This is one virus you want to spread. Find them access to capital or how to pitch for capital. Sometimes the pitch is not good enough. And then they get disappointed. So somebody should tell them, look, guys, your pitch isn't good enough for a VC or for an angel investor. So we actually mentored probably 45, 50 companies over the 2 days. We just get 2 days' notice, and trust me, we had enough companies lining up at our doors to do the mentoring.
You know, you've had experience in Silicon Valley and also in Malaysia. Yeah. How would you compare the two in terms of the community, the entrepreneurial spirit?
The entrepreneurial spirit is very much alive and kicking in Asia. The Chinese are born entrepreneurs. What you need is an ecosystem to nurture them. The ecosystem is angel funding, some pre-seed money. You need VC funding. You need, you know, bankers to help companies list or take it somewhere. You need the stock exchange for companies to list. VCs have to find exit. You need mergers and acquisition specialists. You need lawyers. And you need mentors. And of course, you need a Starbucks to go sit and brainstorm an idea.
But do you think Malaysia maybe has all the ingredients but hasn't really got the recipe quite right?
Well, yes, all the ingredients are there. Well, not all. I would say some of it is, most of it is there in bits and pieces. But they need to work together, you know, smoothly in a, create an ecosystem. Because once you have the ecosystem, one feeds the other. It's like a weather pattern, you know. Get a bit of heat, you know, water evaporates, goes up. So it's a cycle. So once you trigger the cycle, it just goes on and on and on. Malaysia today, quite not there, but a little bit of effort from Thai and other agencies like MDEC has been a great support. Cradle Fund's been a great support to us. The one area which I think could do with a lot more support in Malaysia is professional mergers and acquisitions. A lawyer comes in once the deal is done and does the paperwork, but you need professionals in the field who can identify companies for M&As. I mean, a lot of tech industry and other industries have grown through mergers and acquisitions. So all the upside of the Silicon Valley, not every company goes for an IPO, but companies get acquired. When they get acquired, they get an upside with the bigger company. That hasn't happened here. One is because there's not an active industry. Second, also the mindset of the people here is, you know, I'm the boss, I'm the owner, I want to hold everything. So they got to learn to give up for success.
So, I mean, being successful is all about being able to let go at the right time.
Yep, if you need to. I mean, you can always run the company right through, you know, like Steve Jobs has done it. He went off, came back and had a success again. But a lot of small technology companies, the way up sometimes is just M&As. Give it up. You share the equity.
What kind of advice would you give to a new startup tech company looking for capital?
First, they need to get the pitch ready. Make the elevator pitch. Get me excited. I need to see the passion, enthusiasm, and dedication. You can't do much of it part-time. At the start, yes. Show me that you got the guts to take the plunge. You don't learn to swim till you're in the water. So a lot of entrepreneurs, even good friends of mine, you know, they've been talking entrepreneurship for 2 years and haven't taken the plunge. They made damn good friends, but I really won't encourage them to get money. So first, I need to know the plan before I could advise them how to get money. The Malaysian government is extremely proactive and generous. I mean, this is one of the most generous governments I've seen. So a lot of entrepreneurs should really think positively and try for this as a start.
So where do Malaysian startups fail? I mean,
startups fail everywhere in the world, not just Malaysia. They're not a very vibrant VC industry here.
Yeah.
I don't find it at all vibrant here. And a lot of the VCs, of course, this is a little dicey question to answer, but the VCs need more international access here.
But do you think there are any specific areas or, I mean, niches that Malaysia should focus on to be attractive?
If you look at, say, the telco or mobile industry is very vibrant in Asia, so maybe that's a natural step. But then entrepreneurs can have ideas in any field. But sometimes, you know, entrepreneurs tend to follow a line of thinking, you know, follow a drumbeat which is the loudest, like outsourcing. Malaysia outsourcing, outsourcing Malaysia, Malaysia outsourcing, right? So everybody's trying to think and jump in. My view is outsourcing is good, necessary for starting up a new country's, you know, outsourcing environment. But I firmly believe that outsourcing is good and creates jobs. Entrepreneurship and IP creates wealth.
So you think Malaysia should move on from outsourcing?
Yeah, because Malaysia is comparatively a rich country in the region. So for low-end outsourcing, you'll always be disadvantaged for pricing. So I think it's good to start up 10 years ago. But now you need to move up the value chain. The university level inputs helps entrepreneurs a lot. Or like Stanford and Berkeley, they have, you know, departments pushing entrepreneurship. If people start at that level, they have a very early foundation in grooming to entrepreneurship and tech, etc. So if you start at that level, it may actually encourage people moving forward. If they're working and they think, you know, some entrepreneurs made it big, so I become an entrepreneur in outsourcing, the story can't be repeated very often. So they need to look at a global space and find out where the gaps lie and then target it rather than trying to follow a drumbeat which is the loudest.
Okay, so what do you think are those gaps? I mean, what are some of the most exciting trends or innovations that you think Malaysia could capitalize on or that entrepreneurs should be looking into?
One of the things this is my pet theory, is the government is pretty enthusiastic about technology. So in the area of government applications, you know, like citizen self-service, those are the areas where people should focus on because the government is, you know, very keen on this. And you don't have to always buy foreign technology for this area. It can be grown locally, you know, buatan Malaysia. it can be done. So government is never sexy sounding for an entrepreneur. But given how progressive the government is in the thinking at the top level, if down the line, if entrepreneurs jump into the bandwagon and say, we build government applications for XYZ, they could be a role model for a lot of other governments.
But when you're appealing to a global market, we always get kind of banded into these like country associations. What is the Malaysian brand?
The gateway to the ASEAN. How about that? So what are you saying? Malaysia is an easy place to do business. Infrastructure is great for technology companies. There's a reasonable pool of talent here. I don't believe the talent is any worse than what you get in India. I mean, the base, you know, the average. I mean, the extremes, of course, different, but the average is about the same. So if you focus Malaysia as a gateway to the ASEAN and focus on what the ASEAN needs.
So it's sort of like their AirAsia strategy.
Well, I'm not saying go cheap. I'll go free. That's bad news for any investor and entrepreneur. But yeah, you focus on, you know, new emerging markets. Don't try and, you know, look for what the Silicon Valley did. Yes, it's a source of inspiration and you can learn from success and failures. But don't always look for success in the Silicon Valley. Look at your own backyard, ASEAN, 600 million people.
We're talking about technology. At the end of the day, technology is a tool. It's just a tool.
Yes.
I mean, do Malaysian entrepreneurs really have the right mindset or qualities to make it?
In terms of mindset, in terms of, you know, what they need as entrepreneur, driving business, etc., I think it's about the same across the world. The difference lies here, out here, you know, they're not so adventurous and bold as to jump out to new pastures. You know, when we left India, you know, the Indian government gave us only $500 every alternate year as foreign exchange. So for us, going to the US, a cup of coffee at McDonald's was a decision we had to think twice about. And not just me, a lot of guys you find in the Valley did the same thing in the US, right? But we said, you know, there's a big market there. Let's go and explore it. We were certain we had the competence to address whatever came our way in terms of technical issues, questions, answers, solutions. We knew we would run around and find a solution to it. That sometimes I find is lacking here.
That was Sandro Bose, founder and CEO of Buzznet, and you're listening to BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.